programming that really gets you thinking. And right now is the time to give back to this community to go ahead and continue our funding with your grassroots support. 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm. And right now, your contribution of $80 or more can also get you a copy of Chris Hedges' latest book, America, The Farewell Tour. Go ahead and claim that as you claim the airwaves and get your KBOO membership re-upped or started for the very first time. Give us a call right now, 877-500-5266. KBOO would like to give special thanks to our local community partners who've donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast provided by Angel's Donuts and Ice Cream, located on 2805 Northeast Alberta Street in Portland, serving donuts and ice cream every day. Lunch provided by Paradox Cafe at 3439 Southeast Belmont Street. Open for breakfast and lunch every day, serving organic burgers, breakfast, and brunch, and more. Dinner provided by Thai Peacock, located in downtown Portland at 219 Southwest 9th Avenue. Serving Thai comfort food, Thai Peacock is open daily for lunch and dinner. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 right now.
KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO member listeners and support from Oregon Symphony, located at 909 Southwest Washington Street in downtown Portland. Presenting Gary Trudeau, political cartoonist and creator of Doonesbury Comics, sharing from his latest book, Sad, Doonesbury in the Time of Trump, Tuesday, October 16th at 7:30 p.m. Tickets and more information available by phone at 503-228-1353 or online at orsymphony.org. Coming up the rest of this morning on KBOO at 10, Air Cascadia, 10:15 Flashpoints, and 11, The Dirtbag. But next, it's Making Contact, looking at efforts to reform local criminal justice systems, plus an interview with the author of The End of Policing. All of these KBOO programs are made possible by your support. Become a member now. Go to kboo.fm and click on Donate.
KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland, Oregon, bridging the gap between prisons, prisoners, and the community. This is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
I'm Monica Lopez, and this week on Making Contact.
Here I am with the judges and attorneys and, you know, police officers.
You can have the most beautiful resume and they still want to label you as a felon.
And I wanted to be able to dig in, roll up my sleeves, and figure out what could be done about this issue.
You're not letting us be human, like you're not letting us just be regular girls.
For 20 years, all I heard was shut up, inmate. And now all of a sudden, I have a voice.
To tell us more about the episode we're about to hear today is 70 Million Managing Editor Jen Chien, who is also a former producer at Making Contact. Can you tell us what the 70 Million podcast project is and why your team chose to produce it?
So 70 Million, we're a documentary podcast series, and in this first season, we're going to be looking at jails specifically, local jails, and how they're an entry point into the whole criminal justice system, and looking at their effects on communities and individuals, and what those communities and individuals are doing to mitigate those effects through narrative storytelling.
The producer for episode one researched a particular story in Pima County.
That's right.
Can you tell us a little bit about what we can expect to hear?
Well, so originally we went out and we were looking at this whole set of reforms that were happening in Pima County around jail diversion, around bringing law enforcement and non-law enforcement, institutional, non-institutional folks together to the table to talk about criminal justice reform. Our reporter discovered that there was this stream of money flowing in to work on jail reform and basically decarceration. And at the same time, there was actually this other stream of money coming in from the federal government that might be, in fact, sending more people to jail, and that these two kind of efforts might be at odds. And so we asked him to kind of dig into that and see what was going on.
Well, Making Contact will be airing some of the episodes of 70 Million, but if listeners don't want to miss an installment, where can they go to subscribe?
They can go to 70millionpod.com, 70millionpod.com.
And with that, here's reporter Jesse Alejandro Cottrell with the story from Tucson.
Manny Mejias was trying hard to be a father figure for his stepkids, but one of them, a teenager, kept getting into trouble. The boy got into 2 fights in 2 days. He was paper arrested, meaning he didn't have to go to jail, but he did have to meet with a jail diversion officer. Manny went to the meeting.
So we're sitting in the diversion officer's office, and he says, I'm going to give your stepson 10 hours of community service.
Manny told the officer the punishment was too lenient. He thought they should take his stepson to jail to scare him straight. The officer said they didn't do that kind of thing anymore.
The diversion officer looked at me and he says, well, it's not like your son killed a guy. Now, he didn't know who he was talking to. He didn't know where I had come from or what I had been through. So he didn't know or he didn't appreciate how easy it was for a fistfight to turn into something more.
When Manny says something more, he's speaking from experience. When he was a teenager himself, he helped murder someone, and it changed the course of his life. At 15, Manny was already a regular drinker and cocaine user. He says he grew up feeling let down by the adults around him, from his father coming home drunk, to the Cub Scout leader who abandoned his troop when he was a little boy, to the Junior Air Force program where he never even got an ID card. Then one day, two of Manny's friends suggested robbing a drug dealer who they were all supposedly friends with.
The talks started off as robbing, you know, and taking his money and whatever. And then later on, they started talking into just doing away with him, just taking his life.
Manny agreed to join in, thinking the plans were just teen bravado. But the talk continued until one night, he and his friends tagged along with their supposed friend as he delivered drugs around town. Manny climbed into the front seat of the drug dealer's car, his two friends in the back. They were drinking, sniffing cocaine. Manny smoked crack for the first time. After they'd driven around for a while, Manny says he asked to be let out. He wanted to leave before anything crazy happened.
And he stopped the car. I turned to open the door and I couldn't find the handle. And when I turned back around to ask somebody to open the door for me, that's when the guys that were in the back seat kind of like pushed their way forward, and then everything happened.
The two friends in back began punching the dealer. Manny joined in. One of the friends started choking the guy.
And next thing I know, you know, there's one guy in a car that's not breathing and there's three of us there, so.
The dealer was dead.
And we got arrested the very next day.
The other two boys eventually confessed, so it was a quick trial. Manny took a plea deal for second-degree murder and was given 20 years flat. By the time he finished that sentence and walked out, Manny was 35. Readjusting to life outside of prison was tough. He was diagnosed with PTSD. He was so afraid of crowds that he couldn't sit in a restaurant unless his back was up against a wall. He had a hard time finding work. He had to learn how to drive a car, how to pay bills, how to be an adult. Luckily, he had a supportive wife. And for Manny, a big part of being an adult was raising his stepkids, making sure they didn't follow in his footsteps. That's why he left his stepson's diversion meeting upset. He felt that authorities weren't doing enough to prevent kids from getting tangled up in the system. So he called up a friend of his, a retired judge, and asked if he'd help him make a video reflecting on his own crime and its aftermath. It actually wasn't the first time he'd done something like this. Back when he was first incarcerated, two law professors at the University of Arizona had produced a video about his experiences behind bars. Here's Manny at age 16.
I miss being able to sit outside and looking at the stars or look at the lightning when it rains.
Now, 25 years after making that first video, Manny made another one to help save his own stepkid.
Manny, thinking back to when you were 15 years old, can you think of anything that would have kept you out of trouble?
There's only one thing that would have kept me out of trouble. And those are the choices that I made. Those are the decisions that I made.
Manny took his movie to schools around Tucson, showing it to young people in an attempt to deglorify crime and prison life. No one was paying him. He hosted screenings when he could between construction jobs.
I would go anywhere and everywhere that I could show this video. I was talking to kids from juvenile to junior high, high school, youth groups, wherever.
Manny didn't know it, but while he was showing his video around Tucson, the local government was also trying to figure out how to lock up fewer people. With the jail overflowing despite decreasing crime, there was talk about building a new facility to house all the prisoners, and that would cost tens of millions of dollars, money that the county didn't have. But you can't just release people from jail en masse, or stop incarcerating people who've committed crimes and might be dangerous. So the county got a grant from the MacArthur Foundation to help figure out how to safely send fewer people to jail. Full disclosure, $70 million also received a grant from the MacArthur Foundation. The Pima County grant paid for a pretrial screening program to divert people from jail, a fund to support innovation in criminal justice, and overtime at a warrant resolution court, which we'll get into in a little bit. The grant also paid to set up a committee that would figure out how to enact these reforms. It's called the Pima County Community Collaborative, and it includes representatives from the DA's office, the public defender, sitting judges, and local law enforcement. The collaborative was also looking to recruit formerly incarcerated people, people like Manny.
We're going to have three groups with three facilitators. Manny Mejias, can you wave?
At a recent community collaborative meeting, about 40 people take shelter from the desert heat in the air conditioning of Tucson's YWCA. Everyone in the room sort of knows each other because they've been working together for the last year. There's lawyers, judges, people from nonprofits, even a uniformed Tucson police officer. About 15 people sit down at Manny's table.
Make yourself comfortable. Come and grab something to eat so we can get started. Please don't be shy. You're more welcome.
In front of a crowd, Manny's a natural. He smiles, looks comfortable in his own skin. His energy puts other people at ease. It's hard to believe that this is the same man who had to have his back against the wall at restaurants.
So just to keep in mind, we're talking about racial and ethnic disparities. So
a lot of the conversation at this meeting is dry, the kind of policy talk that can make your eyes glaze over, except when Manny or one of the other formerly incarcerated people talk.
So I got out with no support, and I'm a female, so it's really hard.
This is Michelle Keller, another member of the Pima committee who was incarcerated. When she speaks, everyone listens intently. People take notes. Michelle spent years dodging the law in her former life as a drug addict. She did three stints in prison, was locked up in jail 10 times, and spent a total of just over 11 years behind bars. I asked her what it was like to sit across the table from law enforcement in this very different context.
Here I am with the judges and attorneys and, you know, police officers, and you just don't know what to expect. Like, are they going to look down on me?
I asked Pima County Sheriff Mark Napier if these kinds of conversations with returning citizens were common in the policymaking world.
No, I would say in my career life, it's relatively new. They used to be perceived as the enemy, or these are the bad guys, these are the good guys.
But Sheriff Napier says attitudes have been shifting. Law enforcement increasingly considers formerly incarcerated people sources of wisdom on how to make the system better.
How if we were going to stop you from offending, you know, the minute before you robbed that store, what would have had to been different for you to not have committed that crime? And then when you got out, what kept you from reoffending? I can't glean that by talking to a bunch of cops. I've got to talk to people that have been in the system.
KBOO Portland.
Yes, you're listening to Making Contact, and this program about reforming local criminal justice systems here on KBOO Community Radio. This is our fall membership drive. The voices that you hear in the background behind us are live radio of people picking up phones and taking contributions from listeners just like yourself. Now is the time to claim the airwaves, amplify your voice, and support KBOO. We've been Portland's volunteer-powered, member-funded community radio station since 1968, and right now we are trying to raise $93,500. We're a quarter of the way there, and we need you to be the person to support us right now. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. My name is Jenka, and I'm here with Teresa this morning. Hi. Asking for your support.
Well, one of the most insidious forces deforming social life and freedom in the United States is our obsessive habit of retributive incarceration. So it's refreshing to hear an analysis of that. It's something that we have far more acceptance than analysis of in our society. And so here's KBOO. Here's KBOO Portland coming out to you with an analysis of what we experience every day and what people who've been brought into the system experience most painfully. I'd like to ask you to consider joining KBOO so that we can continue getting this sort of information out to continue to push for social change for a better world. 877-500-5266. I'd like to ask you to pull over. Just consider dialing 877-500-KBOO. 877 is toll free, 500 5266, and we have some lovely t-shirts and hoodies to offer you, and Jenga can tell you about those.
Today is a perfect hoodie day, actually. I was woke up this morning, got the hoodie going. KBOO hoodie is very handy, and this kind of transition weather that we're having in the Portland area right now, it's a $25 a month contribution. Now, I know that KBOO, unlike some organizations, asks you to dig a little deeper, and it seems like a bigger sacrifice, but when you consider what KBOO provides for the community, for this planet, it is essential. I mean, having an independent media on the airwaves. I mean, here's a station that provides long-form, in-depth reporting about the prison industrial complex, and we're doing that live on the air, and we're not asking for much. We're asking, can you do $25 a month to support this resource, not just for yourself, but for your entire community? And then you wear this hoodie around town, you're proud, you show it, and you make friends. People notice it, and they say, hey, I'm a KBOO member too. I love community radio. You start chatting. You find out that, yes, you're not alone in this struggle. So do call now and support this station, 877-500-5266. We met our goal last hour, so thank you for everyone who called. And we do still have some copies of America, The Farewell Tour by Chris Hedges for an $80 a year pledge. The number to call, 877-500-5266. And the time to call is right now.
Do you think maybe that's the way it could happen in the United States? Is like people listen to KBOO, then they get the hoodie, and if it's warm, they're wearing the hoodie around their tied around their waist, and if it's cool, then you're just wearing the hoodie as usual, and if it's starting to rain, you pull the hoodie over the top. But other people in hoodies see you wearing that hoodie, and so you get together and you conspire behind the park benches, and boom, we've got a revolution. As easy as that. I never knew that it was
like
going to be this
mask.
Easy. Yeah. 877-500-5266. 877-500-KBOO. 877-500-5266. The reason we're here after 50 years is that we've always relied on you. In other words, we've always relied on your neighbor who listens to KBOO. And when I say your neighbor, I mean the neighbor as defined by someone who actually listens to KBOO, because we're a rather scattered society. We have our little screens to look at, and that's intentional, and it was very, very profitable before we were all trained to do that. But that's the way it is right now, and so if you're listening to KBOO right now, you care about social change, and you care about mass incarceration, and that makes you one of just a few people within the society. But nonetheless, that makes your voice the more powerful, because people, when it comes time to vote or to discuss this situation, to confront the fact that we have this hideous mass incarceration society going on, this greater number and proportion of people behind bars than anywhere else on earth. When it comes time to talk about it, well, you've actually done the work. You've actually listened to KBOO Portland, and doubtless you've also read extensively on it, because that's what brings you here as well, to reinforce and to add to your knowledge. 877-500-5266. 877-500-5266. Opinion leaders like yourself are very valuable. KBOO is valuable to us, to you, and I think that you will be very glad to get your hoodie. So let's please spend 3 minutes on the phone. 877-500-5266. Talk to us.
Yeah, I mean, you're a shot caller if you're listening to KBOO. You're a person that your friends, colleagues, and family count on to keep them informed about what's going on in the world, because you listen to KBOO and you actually know the facts, things that are backed up and supported rather than just infotainment like some of these other stations. Or, as Chris Hedges pointed out, the public radio that is supported by the Koch brothers. I promise you right now, KBOO will never take funding from the Koch brothers. We will not take funding from the big pharma corporations. That allows us to remain independent. And we're only independent because we've got these nearly 6,000 members. And if one member drops, well, another one comes in and takes their place. And that is how this station remains independent. We are not beholden to any one major donor, to any big corporation. We need you to be one of the people who contributes that $10 a month, that $20 a month. And if you can do the 25 $5 a month. That is the KBOO hoodie level, and you can be a part of the hoodie brigade. I, in fact, do that myself. Don't have a huge income. It seems like a lot. It's the biggest charity contribution a year for our family, but yet I know the value of KBOO Community Radio, and I hope that you will too, and you'll value it at that $25 a month level. That way you make a commitment to your community, to this University of the Airwaves. You ensure that it's there for yourself, for others, for all posterity, for the youth that are coming in that have not heard this type of radio before. We need you right now. 877-500-5266.
When you're driving around town or getting around town on the bus or the bike and you see a KBOO bumper sticker, well, that's someone who has contributed. That's someone who has already done what I'm asking you to consider doing right now. And it's because of that that we stay on the air, and it's because of that that this region, this Cascadia region, is what it is in some ways. People can tell that there's a community radio station on the air. When they come into town and they give a speech, they can tell people are up to speed because of community radio. 877-500-5266. That's you. That's right now. That's making the decision. That's the strength in your heart. 877-500-5266.
Yes, call that number now.
Michelle says she's proud of what this collaboration has been able to achieve. They've created a diversion program to stop low-level offenders from going to jail. People with minor drug offenses can now meet with a behavioral health specialist instead of going to trial. Another issue the collaborative wanted to address was all the people going to jail simply because they'd missed a court date. Since court was only open during regular business hours, if you worked during the day, you just couldn't make it, which would cause a judge to issue a warrant for your arrest. So the collaborative created an off-hour court, which is open on evenings and weekends. Since 2016, the off-hour court has resolved 1,400 warrants. Partly because of these two initiatives, the daily population at Pima County Jail has fallen from an average of 2,200 people a few years ago to about 1,800 people now. No one talks about building a new jail anymore. Michelle has been clean and out of jail for over a decade. She raises foster children, she owns two homes. For work, she counsels drug addicts on how to rebuild their lives. But sometimes she still runs into people wary of inviting the formerly incarcerated into their communities. Once, she was at a community meeting in South Tucson when a man who didn't know her stood up to talk.
And this guy was totally against anybody or anything helping them. And he's like, because I don't want them people in my community.
Michelle waited for her turn to speak, then addressed the man.
I said, but one thing about it is, I am one of these people. And he just, like, his look was like, what are you talking about? You're not one of those people. And I said, I am a person in recovery. After a 23-year addiction, he's like, well, you changed. And I'm like, and that's what we want to do with them. We want to help them.
Manny Mejias is also one of those people. He's someone who has changed and has dedicated his life to helping others change. One of Manny's favorite things about the Community Collaborative is how people recognize his transformation.
I guess I tell people all the time, you know, for 20 years, all I heard was shut up inmate. And now all of a sudden, I have a voice. I have an opinion. Not that I didn't have that before, but the voice and the opinion that I have, people actually care to hear.
In addition to working with the Collaborative, Manny's a reentry coordinator at Fortaleza, a program that helps young people returning from prison. Fortaleza serves 18 to 22-year-olds who've just been released from prison. It offers vocational courses in things like floor buffing and carpet cleaning and culinary training by a local chef. But job training is only a part of it.
So, Fortaleza, we start our day with what's called a check-in.
The other thing they focus on is character development. After showing me around, Manny sits down across a table from Niger, a 22-year-old who just finished a 4-year prison stint for aggravated assault.
We use the talking stick here. It promotes active listening. And we basically start with our name, how we're feeling. My name is Manny. I'm very excited about today. Very proud of you, Niger, for everything.
Manny passes the feathered talking stick to Niger.
My name is Niger, and I'm feeling pretty positive today.
Niger is a lanky young man with a big friendly smile. After he and Manny talk about their feelings, they do an exercise where they pick a letter and talk about something they feel responsible for that starts with that letter. Today, it's D.
You got a D word yet?
demonstrate.
Okay.
I am responsible for demonstrating, because you could have all these intentions of what you want to do or where you want to go with your life, but if you're not demonstrating it, then...
At one point, Manny pulls out a small metal pin, the kind the Army uses to designate rank. He gives his students pins when they've accomplished goals, and Niger has just completed his floor waxing certification.
All right.
So wear that proudly with your uniform?
Yep.
Okay. Since you passed all of the tests, you only have one left to go with Chef, but I'm going to go ahead and give you that anyway. Let's check in.
The pin itself is just a little gold-colored piece of metal, but Niger's eyes light up as he receives it. And as Manny passes it over, I think back to what he told me about being disillusioned as a child, joining the Boy Scouts, joining the Civil Air Patrol, but never getting a uniform or any ranks, nothing to show for his hard work, nothing to prove that he belonged. At Fortaleza, Manny is trying to make sure his students don't feel that way. He wants them to know that no matter where they've been or what they've done, there's still a place for them in the world. Criminal justice reform is a complex business wherever it's undertaken. Here in Pima County, while the Community Collaborative and associated efforts work to lower the jail population, there is another program that some people say is doing the opposite, putting more people in jail. I'll get into the details, but first, let's go out into the desert.
We have three agents sitting to the south side of the road, two agents in the middle of the road.
What you're hearing is from video recorded by a driver as he pulls up to a Border Patrol checkpoint in Pima County in 2014. You can see from the cameras the driver has installed throughout his vehicle that he barely lowers his window as he stops.
You got citizenship, sir? Mr. Dressy?
Tackett, what's your first name, agent?
Sir, I'm asking the questions here. You have United States citizenship.
Actually, I'm asking the questions too. What's your first name?
Okay.
Terry Bressy, the driver, passes through this Border Patrol checkpoint all the time, so often that the agents know his name. Officially, the checkpoint exists to catch drug and human traffickers and to catch undocumented people. Even though this particular checkpoint is 40 miles from the Mexico border and sits on a secondary road. After a brief back and forth between Terry and the agent, Tackett calls over his supervisor, who tells Terry he's being detained. That's Terry honking his horn.
You ready to let me go, agent? Or are you going to continue to illegally detain me, agent?
After the sheriff's deputy speaks with you.
A few moments later, a uniformed sheriff's deputy steps into the frame. You can hear him knock on Terry's car window.
Sir, the Border Patrol is detaining
you. The sheriff's deputy is accusing Terry of blocking traffic because he's stopping at the Border Patrol checkpoint. Eventually, the deputy lets Terry go, only to stop him a few miles down the road to give him a ticket for honking his horn at the checkpoint.
Hello. Hey, Terry.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, Jesse.
I meet Terry at his house, and he explains why he runs into the Border Patrol so often.
I work at the University of Arizona and for an astronomy research group, so I do a lot of traveling up to the Kitt Peak National Observatory, where we have several telescopes up there that we operate on a regular basis.
Terry goes up to Kitt Peak once or twice a week. Each time he has to drive through a permanent Border Patrol checkpoint. He estimates he's been stopped over 400 times. He's recorded a lot of these stops and posted them online. The videos have made him a minor celebrity because he refuses to obey the Border Patrol. For a decade, these stops happened more or less the same way, he says. The Border Patrol would ask if he was a citizen. Terry would refuse to answer. After a bit of squabbling, he'd be let go. He knew that beyond making him stop, there wasn't much Border Patrol could legally do to him. That all changed in 2012. That's the year Terry started to notice a new presence at the Border Patrol checkpoints, Pima County Sheriff's deputies.
So I had an interaction in 2013, another one in 2014. Both of those resulted in citations from the police, you know, not the Border Patrol, from the police.
In both interactions, Terry refused to answer questions from the Border Patrol the same way he always had. But instead of just getting annoyed and sending him on his way, they called over sheriff's deputies. The first time, they gave him a citation for blocking the road while he was stopped at the checkpoint. The second, they cited him for honking his horn. Terry challenged these tickets in court, and then they were thrown out. It turns out the sheriff's deputies were at the checkpoints because of a federal program called Operation Stone Garden. Stone Garden pays to put more local police on the streets and border communities. The idea is that these extra officers help the Border Patrol stop drug and human trafficking. Or at least that's what's supposed to happen. But as Terry found out, in Pima County, the money was also being used to place sheriff's deputies at checkpoints, where they were ticketing people for things that had nothing to do with the border. The most serious incident happened to Terry in 2017. He was arrested by a deputy for pulling off the highway a few hundred feet past a checkpoint. It was the first time in over a decade of stops that Terry had been actually arrested.
So this is what Stone Garden has done. The system that's supposed to be in place to protect us is more and more often used as the mechanism to control and harass and beat us down.
And you're listening to KBOO Community Radio. And this morning, we are trying to raise money for KBOO, and we're asking for your support to do that. This is KBOO's fall membership drive, and we are asking you to claim the airwaves, amplify your voice, and support KBOO. The number to call is 877-500-5266. When you listen to this content, you think about the struggle for justice that's going on right now around immigrant rights, and the station that brings you the voices, the station that in fact was embedded down at the Occupy ICE encampment reporting there. Teresa and I were down there reporting a number of times on what was happening, and continue to report on a daily basis about this struggle to fight this agenda of really attacks against against people simply because of their immigration status. The number to call to support this informative station, the station of resistance, the station that challenges you to divest from the prison industrial complex and invest in community, is 877-500-5266.
877-500-KBOO, 877-500-5266. I'd like to ask you to consider pulling over right now and safely making a call on that little snitch in your pocket, 877-500-5266. I'll say it again so you can remember, 877-500-5266. Now, there you are, poor you, driving around. You know, it's not quite time to put on the heater in your car, and rolling down the window doesn't quite feel exactly right either. Well, that's because you need a KBOO hoodie. And KBOO hoodies are available only through KBOO and only by calling us at the number that I gave you before, that I teasingly do not give you now because I want to describe the hoodie some more. It's black. It's got a nice militant logo on either side. It has, of course, a hood and a zip-up, and has some contrasting ties, and looks very styly indeed, and you'll recognize it on other people when you see it, and they'll recognize it on you, and you can have it by calling us, once again, safely, please, 877-500-5266, 877-500-5266. Now, if you're already in your workplace, then that's easier. You just fake a big old sneeze and go around a corner and give us a call. And if you're at home, you don't have to fake anything at all or even pull over. Just call us, 877-500-5266. I'd like to call out you. Go ahead and
Well, I was just going to say, if you are in at work, you just open up the incognito window and go to that kboo.fm and click right there on donate. It's another real easy way to do it. And it all comes to the same pot here at KBOO.
I like that. And pot and KBOO, those words kind of go together, don't they? Since KBOO was founded and named after Berkeley Boo, and I bet you can guess what it was. It wasn't legal at the time. 877-500-5266. Now, this mass incarceration state, everyone has a story about it, and I was telling Jinka one during the previous programming. It was getting pulled over near the border, not at the border, many miles inside the border in my car many years ago, and my then spouse had brown skin, and I was really kind of worried about it, and I said, honey, you better use your best English voice, because she had that sort of English exile voice, you know, like you say, schedule instead of schedule and this sort of thing, and so that worked swimmingly, and we got away from them, but it was frightening, and they were there to see if they possibly could run us off. And that kind of thing is pretty disgusting. It's really not necessary in a society, but it is necessary in a society that has decided that it is going to be fueled by oppression. And KBOO is here to address that and ask you, is that what you really want? I think you don't. Call us 877-500-5266. Right, Janka?
Challenge the oligarchy. This is your way to do it, and it's a real easy way to do it. And in fact, you were talking about pulling over. If you happen to be out and about, stop on by and see the studio, and we will put a hoodie on your shoulders and let you walk out with it for that $25 a month contribution. We're here at 20 Southeast 8th. You can see our palatial studios with our penthouse suites, or not so much, but you know, we put it together with duct tape and sealing wax, and we've got a budget operation here. Every single dollar goes to this operation, and it really, really is a labor of love here at KBOO Community Radio. If you can do, I think it's just over $6 a month, then you get America the Farewell Tour by Chris Hedges. We still have copies of that, and that, I mean, it really goes a long way. You might think, oh, what's my $6 a month going to do? Well, everybody's $6 a month added up makes the budget for this station. And it may not seem much to you, but it is so much for KBOO. I mean, we make every single dollar and cent count. And here at KBOO, we need everybody who's listening to stand up for this radio station. Maybe you're a new listener and you and it doesn't seem like you just, why should I contribute to something that I'm new to, that I've just come across, that I've just turned on, and that I'm just getting to know? Well, you can sign up for a monthly contribution. If it doesn't work for you, then you can stop. But you know what? So many people find the value in KBOO, and they continue to be members. Maybe join committees and come down and volunteer. It's amazing how this community radio station brings the community together. So call right now, 877-500-5266. Click on kboo.fm or stop on by 20 Southeast 8th. You can say hi to Teresa and I, and we'll put that hoodie right on you in case you weren't quite prepared for the day that we're facing, and you came out with a t-shirt this morning or something. Well, come on down and get your hoodie on. It's 20 Southeast 8th right here off of Burnside.
Well, as a matter of fact, people have been taking our advice, Janka, and I'm glad to say that right now we have Gabby from Southeast Portland, who is renewing. Taggart from Southeast Portland, renewing. Valerie calling in from McMinnville, a new member. And let's see, Dean and Marie from Philomath, new member. Barbara, Northeast Portland, renewing. Kristen from Hillsborough, renewing. Robert, a new member from Northeast Portland. Thank you, Robert. Tom, renewing from Waitsburg, Washington. And Don, a new member from Southeast Portland.
Wow, what a great group of people. You can join that wonderful, inspirational group of people and be a part of this community that explores radical approaches to problem solving and making the world a better place. Here at KBOO, your membership makes this programming possible and inspires others to do the same. I mean, just reflecting back on Occupy ICE, we were out there every day. We had our camp. We had our table set up. We had our audio equipment set up with a battery and a solar panel, so that we wouldn't have to use electricity. KBOO is out in the front lines of the struggle and has been since 1968. This is a station that engages in social justice activism and isn't afraid to say it, and isn't afraid to put out our values: peace, justice, democracy, human rights, multiculturalism, and helps to transform the society from the really difficult place that it is in right now towards a new model, a different model, a gift economy, an equitable, just, and abundant society. And I know that you as a listener are compassionate, and you're someone who cares about having an independent voice on the airwaves, and you care about having a station that provides a platform for many, many groups that are shut out of the corporate-run media. Here at KBOO, we provide that platform not just for one group, not just for one side, but we have a diversity of voices and perspectives here on KBOO Community Radio. Support the station now with your contribution, $6 a month, $10, maybe $25 a month. Just call right now and tell us what amount works for you. 877-500-5266.
$50 a month will get two hoodies for you and your sweetie. And you can dress alike, and we have your size, 877-500-5266, 877-500-KABU, 877-500-5266. I would like to expand on my previous fantasy. Can you imagine if someone hacked the airwaves so that all you could hear wherever you turned was KBOO for some short period of time, so that you couldn't hear Rush Limbaugh, and you couldn't hear Glenn Beck, and you couldn't hear Fox News, and you couldn't hear all that conformity that they do. For example, CNN, every time there's a war, CNN somehow has their person on a ship that left a month ago. Oh, look at that. That's how close to the war makers they are.
Mm-hmm. Well, right now, I mean, it's the opposite right now. If you listened on the airwaves, I actually was up in Wisconsin when they were having that teacher strike. My cousin who lives there told me that in her county, which is the center of the teacher struggle, where they were taking over the Capitol building, really organizing in a big way, the corporate media then had Rush Limbaugh piped into 8 stations on the FM dial. So you could turn your radio tuner and get Rush Limbaugh on 8 stations. I mean, how frightening is that, that they were shutting out any kind of alternative voice? Here at KABU, we have an alternative voice, and we have a space on the airwaves, and we need to preserve it. Yeah, I mean, they were trying to just get drown out any other voices. I mean, right now, it is up to us, not governments, not corporations, but ordinary people like you and me, to ensure that this century is going to be the change, the transition of a post-industrial era, an era of compassion, an era of community. And here at KABU, we're right at the center of that struggle. So we need your support. We need you to help make that transition from a fossil fuel economy to an alternative, new type of economy. And you can do it with your support at $5, $10, $20 a month. Do it right now, 877-500-5266.
Now, Terry is a white male college professor who reads Supreme Court rulings for fun. What happens when someone without that kind of racial and educational privilege runs into the same situation? Records on Stone Garden stops are hard to get. The closest thing I could find was a Tucson Police Department case. The officers engaged were being paid with Stone Garden money and operating under the same guidelines as the Sheriff's Department does throughout Pima County.
Can you please tell me your full name?
Francisco Flores West.
Where are you from?
I'm from Tucson.
Tucson. And have you lived here your whole life?
Unfortunately.
Francisco is skinny and seems younger than his 42 years, with his boyish smile and easy laugh.
And so, can you explain to me what happened that day during that bike arrest? Before the stop, what happened?
Okay. Well, I was riding. I ride a lot. And
one day in 2015, Francisco was out riding his bike when he encountered some road work on the street. He couldn't stay in the lane he was riding in, so he biked to the opposite side of the street to get around the construction.
Before I even saw the cop, it just kind of like it was going to ram me. It just, boom, like got in front of me and stopped me.
Francisco says a police car drove out in front of him, cutting him off. An officer got out and told him he was riding on the sidewalk illegally. While he waited for a ticket, the policeman did a search on his computer, and he found Francisco had a warrant out for failing to appear in court. The original charges? 2 more bike citations. The officer then searched him and found a little bit of marijuana and methamphetamine. So Francisco went to jail. The policeman that arrested him was on a Stone Garden deployment.
And then what happened afterwards?
I guess I was held until trial, until I was proven innocent.
To clarify, a judge found that Francisco was innocent of the alleged traffic violation. He had every right to bike around the construction zone. That made the drug charge inadmissible, since Francisco should have never been stopped in the first place. But by the time all of this was figured out, Francisco had spent 9 months in jail because he couldn't afford the $5,500 bail. I asked Francisco how this affected his life.
It just kind of kills all your dreams, you know? It just
shatters
you, you know? It kind of breaks you, you know? Like, I would have thought I was strong, but there's certain things in life that you care for that can and will break you, you know? I lose more time out of my kid's life. I have 4 kids, and you don't get to recover what you lose with your children, you know?
Francisco had been in trouble with the law in his early 20s, but by the time of his arrest, his life was back on track. He had a full-time job, he was taking classes at a junior college, he was especially proud of his relationship with his eldest daughter, who was a standout high school student and athlete.
She played volleyball, basketball. She got a scholarship, actually, to Oregon State. I was actually making progress with her at the time. Like, I was going to her games at the high school, you know. Give me a second.
You're getting emotional.
Yeah.
He starts to tear up.
Because it was cool, you know, just to see her, you know, play.
But after spending nearly a year in jail, Francisco had no job and no place to live. The hardest part was what happened with his daughter. In jail, he'd missed her high school graduation.
What's your relationship with her now?
I haven't talked.
I'm sorry.
I didn't realize, like, how much I was hurting.
Francisco's eldest daughter doesn't return his calls. He hasn't talked to her since the day he went to jail. Francisco's wrongful arrest and failure to appear warrant derailed his life. But nowadays, for people in his situation, things can end up differently. Someone who has a warrant out in Pima County can go to the off-hour court created by the community collaborative. There, they can see a judge, handle their warrant, and go home that same day. But some leaders in Pima County are trying to do even more to prevent people from being thrown in jail. They want to get rid of Operation Stone Garden. Ever since the Department of Homeland Security began offering Operation Stone Garden money a decade ago, Pima County has taken it without any controversy. Until this year. In February of 2018, the Pima County Board of Supervisors voted to reject Stone Garden money, arguing that it was putting people in jail without good reason.
It's not focusing on the crimes we need to be focusing on, violent crime, white-collar crime, crime that actually harms people.
That's Sharon Bronson, one of the Pima County supervisors who voted to reject Stone Garden funds. She's a big supporter of the community collaborative's efforts to lower the jail population. She says that not only does Operation Stone Garden put more people in jail, it ends up costing Pima County a lot of money. Because even though Stone Garden pays for more police, it doesn't pay for the cost of jailing people and the court costs of adjudicating them.
For every dollar, a Stone Garden dollar that the county gets, we invest $3. It's costing us money.
Supervisor Bronson says Operation Stone Garden and initiatives like the Community Collaborative are inherently in conflict.
They are exactly antithetical, and I think I actually said that at a board meeting. They're canceling each other out.
But not everyone feels that Stone Garden is a waste of money.
Our county is 9,200 square miles. Stone Garden money allows us to deploy those resources in there to traditionally underserved areas on overtime.
That's Pima County Sheriff Mark Napier.
And these are also primary drug and human trafficking corridors that otherwise we would not be able to provide law enforcement service to in an effective manner. We have 125-mile linear exposure to the international border. We know that in many places that border has no security whatsoever. And we also know that public safety threats come through that porous border.
When Sheriff Napier talks about Stone Garden's benefits, he's not talking about arresting local drug dealers or users. He's talking about halting international criminal networks passing through Pima County.
We just ran a load of fentanyl that we tracked that came through the border and went all the way to the Bronx in New York. Several thousand fentanyl pills. How many of those would have led to overdoses throughout the country?
So for him, Stone Garden and the Community Collaborative,
they're really two separate things that I don't think are opposed to one another.
Eventually, the Pima County Board of Supervisors changed their vote and accepted Stone Garden funding for 2018. But they demanded that the program be more closely monitored, something that Sheriff Napier agrees with. He's also stopped placing deputies at Border Patrol checkpoints. The board also ordered an in-depth report to figure out how effective Stone Garden really is. We reached out to the Department of Homeland Security looking for the same info, but at the time of recording, they hadn't gotten back to us. For now, it's unclear whether the program is really helping to bring down big-time international drug cartels or is needlessly ensnaring small fish like Francisco Juez and people who haven't broken any laws like Terry Bressy. Maybe it's doing both. In Tucson, I'm Jesse Alejandro Cottrell for 70 Million.
You've been listening to episode 1 of the podcast 70 Million on Making Contact. 70 Million is made possible by a grant from the Safety and Justice Challenge at the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation. The podcast is a production of L'Antigua Williams & Co. It's edited by Jen Chien and mixed by Luis Gill. Associate producer Ola Wakemi Alade Sui. Marketing specialist Kate Kroschel. Resource guide writer Amy Alexander. Juleka L'Antigua Williams, the creator and executive producer. And series host Mitzi Miller. Catch their other episodes at 70millionpod.com. Making Contact's team is Executive Director Lisa Rudman, producers Anita Johnson, Monica Lopez, and Salima Hamarani, Audience Engagement Director Sabine Blazin, Development Coordinator Vera Tykulsker, and I'm Monica Lopez.
KBOO Portland, I'm Teresa Mitchell. I'm here with Jenka.
And we're asking for your support. During the last 10 minutes of this show, we need to raise $400. So we need a few of you to call, or maybe just one of you to call and make that commitment to come to the aid of your countrymen. Right now is the time, dear listener, because the station that you are listening to is a community-run station. That means there are volunteers that are on the air, and that means that there are listeners that are the funding. So if you have not yet become a member, or maybe you're not sure, maybe it's been a while, call right now and make a new membership or renew your membership. Any amount is great. $20 is a basic membership, and you could also do a monthly contribution, which is the way to sustain this station over the long term. So a $5 a month contribution goes a long way here at KBOO, and only you are the person that can save journalism right now. I mean, when newspapers, radio stations, TV channels are beholden to their shareholders, there's a lot of pressure to cut corners, to reduce news gathering, to make the shareholders happy. Well, that does not happen here at KBOO. KBOO is the opposite approach. We are beholden only to you, the listener, and we are the station that is completely independent because we don't have anyone giving us editorial directives as to what we can and can't put on the air. KBOO is free to put programming about the prison industrial complex, for example, on the air. Free to put programming about the attacks on immigrants at the border on the air, and do it in a long-form analysis that shows not just what the problem is, but how to address it and how people are coming together to make change. Please call right now and support the station in the next 7 minutes, 877-500-5266, or online kboo.fm.
If you were listening a few hours ago, as I was, you heard Amy Goodman talking to firefighters who act strenuously and expertly and risk their lives every day and get paid a dollar a day because they're part of the prison industrial complex. A dollar an hour, so that they may get $12 or $14 in a day and then have to spend that in the Portland prison commissary.
13th Amendment abolished slavery except in prison, right? And you find out about that here at KBOO.
Yeah, it's something we don't like to think about. And KBOO is sometimes here to bring up subjects that, tend to get swept under the rug because it's so convenient to do so. It's so profitable to do so. Listening to KBOO You can listen to The World As It Is, and you can listen to a little bit of talk about what a better future might look like. I was thinking as I was listening earlier today that when I was a kid, I was pretty well off because I lived in a family that had received the GI Bill, free education. And so my dad was able to take advantage of that because he wasn't brown, basically. White people got that, and others did not. And so finally, by the time I was ready to go off to college, or just before, he was making around $35,000 a year. And you may say that's not a big deal, but that was back then. And if you run through the inflation calculator, that was $140,000 a year. $140,000 a year at a time when hospital rates weren't sky high, where insurance rates weren't sky high. And during that time, before I went to college, I remember there was no one living on the streets. You could occasionally find someone who was so drunk they couldn't take care of themselves, but that's a whole different thing from families living in the streets because their wages are so low, their opportunities are so scarce. And today, well, look on every major street corner. This is what happens when society loses control of its narrative, loses control of history, loses control of what the facts actually are. A nation that is chock full of Fox News and Rush Limbaugh and Glenn Beck and all of those demagogues is a society that is increasingly an apartheid state, a warfare state, an imperial state, and a very poor place for most of the population. The United States right now is a place where something like 80% of the population would be destroyed by a $3,000 bill that had to be paid right now. This is where we're at. And KBOO actually talks about that sort of thing. KBOO is part of your way to help actually turn that around. Done it before and we can do it again. 877-500-5266. 877-500-5266 to join KBOO, to join those who actually want a better society. And some people have been joining us.
And we want to thank Alan from Southeast Portland, Harold from Tualatin, Jim from Northeast Portland, and Martin from Southeast Portland. Thank you so much for your membership at KBOO. We are in this community. We're going down this path together. And we need you right now in the next 5 minutes to help us raise $400 more. When you hear the phones ring behind us, that's not a recording. That's live right here in our studio. We've got people that are volunteering to answer phones. And you can be the one to make it ring and be the hero of this hour and fill in that last $400. Just four of you calling at $100 a year. You could do that as a monthly contribution. Break it down. Really, really easy to do. I think it's like $8.25 a month or something. So you can set that up in just a couple of minutes, and that will help us reach our goal for this hour. We need to reach a goal every single hour in order to end this drive and be solid for the coming year. 877-500-5266 or online kboo.fm. Maybe you need to pause and remember that number for a moment. It's 877-500-KBOO. Make the decision to be a part of KBOO and be a part of something great right here in your community.
See that gas station ahead? You could pull over and give us a call, 877-500-5266. You know it's the time of year to get that hoodie, so why not just get it taken care of? It's only going to take about 3 minutes. It's 3 minutes to the top of the hour, so you know you've already blown it getting in to work at 10 o'clock. Don't worry about that. Just pull over and call us, 877-500-5266. You'll be glad that you did. That hoodie will be on its way to you for a $25 a month contribution, 877-500-KBOO, 877-500-5266. Now we got 2 minutes and 30 seconds left for you to call in. I know that you can bring us over the top, just 400 or actually less now than 400. To get us to our goal at the top of the hour, 877-500-5266. You know it's got to be you and it's got to be now, because if you don't do it right now, well, other things will get in the way. You'll be doing other things and you might remember and you might not that you considered it. 877-500-5266. Make sure that hoodie is heading for you. 877-500-5266. Right, Jinka?
Yeah, and we also have thank yous at the $75 level, $6.25 a month. You get the Keep Portland Radical brand new t-shirt, and that can be yours as well. You can do it online, kboo.fm. You choose the amount, whether it's $6.25 a month, $25 a month, or more or less, whatever you choose. And every single person who pledges to KBOO gets a vote, gets a membership, and all of our members are equal. Whether you are someone who gives $20 or $20,000, you each get one vote in our Board of Elections. This is a Democratic radio station that is completely completely listener sponsored and volunteer run. I mean, this is a very unique thing and very, very important to preserve. So you've got 1.5 minutes to make that call and help us reach our goal this hour. And I know that you can be the person who makes that difference and makes that call. 877-500-5266. Call now.
Thank you, Jenka. Thank you, Teresa. I really appreciate your help out there. And at 10:15, coming up at 10:15 is Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. And at 11 o'clock, The Dirtbag has answers to your gardening questions. This is KBOO Portland. And just a reminder, all these KBOO programs are made possible by members' support. And if you want to become a member, I think you know how to do that. You go to 877-500-5266 or go to kboo.fm on the web and click on donate. Thank you for taking care of that. After this announcement, we'll go right to Air Cascadia.
KBOO would like to give special thanks to our local community partners who've donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast provided by Angel's Donuts and Ice Cream, located on 2805 Northeast Alberta Street in Portland, serving donuts and ice cream every day. Lunch provided by Paradox Cafe at 3439 Southeast Belmont Street. Open for breakfast and lunch every day, serving organic burgers, breakfast, and brunch, and more. Dinner provided by Thai Peacock, located in downtown Portland at 219 Southwest 9th Avenue. Serving Thai comfort food, Thai Peacock is open daily for lunch and dinner. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 right now.